finish that last verse. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we meet you today on the banks of the Jordan River. And as the Holy Spirit descended upon you, we pray that it would descend upon us at this time. Move among us, open us up, for we ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. The new feature has a symbol across the bottom of the screen. It says, this meeting is being recorded. But then it has a button that says, okay, I don't know if I'm supposed to push it or not.
If you push it, it'll make that go away.
Oh, I'm not going to be watching it anymore. Well, it seems like it's been forever since I've seen you. I was out sick last time you gathered. I was at working at the hospital, and the time before that I was sick. So it's really great to be here and to see all of you and some of you. That every year on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. It's also a day known in some places as Theophany, because of the triune nature of our God that's revealed in this story. The Holy Spirit descends, the Father speaks, Jesus the Son is baptized, everybody shows up. And Theophany simply means an appearance or a manifestation of God. And we are very familiar with the story of the baptism of Jesus. Every year. Like all the other stories that come up every year, we know it. We know all the details. We know that in Gospels there are differences between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and especially in John. Between the various accounts, we know the highlights. We can blend them together in our minds, and that's okay. I've noticed that in looking at numerous sermons the last couple of weeks on this baptism of our Lord, most preachers will blend from those accounts to create a sermon that has all of the highlights. But one thing that's common is that Jesus is baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. The heavens are open, the Holy Spirit descends, and there is a voice from heaven that proclaims that Jesus is the Son of God. We're familiar enough with it to know the who, what, when, and where of the whole thing. But frequently, people will argue about the why. Why? Why was Jesus, the Son of God, baptized by John at all? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus had no sin. He needs no forgiveness. He doesn't need to repent. So it would seem that John's baptism is totally inappropriate for Jesus. And yet, here we see in the Gospels, he who knew no sin is in the Jordan being baptized. Why? If you go on Google and you type in, why was Jesus baptized? And I ask all of you, please don't do that. You would not believe all of the things that you're going to read.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. There are... people worry about misinformation on the internet and all of the things that people can read that are wrong about health and so forth. There should be someone who polices orthodoxy on the internet. And just put a warning before you read the article. The opinions and the thoughts of this article do not reflect Orthodox Christianity. Some of the reasons that people will give for the baptism of Jesus have to do with the heresy the church calls adoptionism. And that heresy is that Jesus was an ordinary guy like any of us, but he lived a sinless life, and so God the Father picked him to adopt, to be his son. And in the Jordan, that's what God is announcing. This is my son. I picked him. He's adopted. There are problems with that, especially if you've read the Gospel of Luke up to this point. We know that he was picked before he was born. Way before. If you read the Gospel of John, from the very beginning. Adoptionism is a heresy for a darn good reason. And some will say, well, but yeah, we knew he was going to do this, but this is when he became the Christ. This is when he was anointed for ministry. And you run into problems with that, because he was the Christ when John the Baptist left in his mother's womb. So it actually happened at conception. And then you get to read pieces that are written by non-sacramental theologians from denominations that don't view baptism as a sacrament, but rather as a rite or ordinance. Baptism is still important to them, but for very different reasons. For them, baptism is a sign that sins have been washed away and that that person has become a member of the church. And while they look at the baptism of Jesus and will say, this is a manifestation of who Jesus is, yes, no doubt, God speaks. But it's also seen as a symbolic rehearsal for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And if you think of the action of someone being immersed, it's the death and resurrection. It's sort of a foreshadowing of what's to come in the gospel. What does the gospel say about it? Why was Jesus baptized? Well, the only gospel that has that conversation that we know between John the Baptist and Jesus is the Gospel of Matthew, and in it, John protests and says, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus says, let it be for now. It's proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. And that sort of explains why. It's as if Jesus is saying, it's the right thing to do. This is the will of the Father. It's a partial answer, but it still leaves us with the question of why. Why is this necessary? And this is not like a child. Those of you who are parents will understand, you've gone through this, that states the kids go through where every explanation you get, why? Why? Until you finally get to the point. You say, because I said so, that's why. That's not like this. Why was the baptism necessary? Why is it part of the story of our redemption? You have to be careful where you put your hand on your iPad. To answer this question, I'd like for us to look at our own baptisms. Why we were baptized. I've heard people say, and I know you've heard this too, that someone will say, I was baptized into the Methodist Church. I was baptized into the Baptist Church, or I was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church, or Lutheran, or non-denominational, or you put any brand in there you want. And when they say that, if it's possible, I like to kind of correct them. I say, no, you were baptized into Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You were baptized into Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of Galatians, Paul is explaining this. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, for all of you were baptized into Christ. You have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. These verses from Galatians describe baptism as a union with Christ. The baptized person is clothed in Christ's righteousness and his character, and it indicates that believers are intimately connected with Jesus through baptism, taking on his identity and being recognized as part of his body. You and I, and all Christians who have been baptized, were baptized into the mystical body of Jesus Christ. The church is the body of Christ. I love an analogy that Bishop Robert Barron gave. He is a Roman Catholic bishop of the Diocese of Winona. The way I know about him is that on PBS, he was the host for a documentary, 10-part documentary about, it was just called Catholicism. Very insightful, and he's very articulate, and a good preacher as well. But he said, when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, we did not become members of the Jesus Christ Association, whose members fondly remember great things about Jesus and gather occasionally to keep his ideas alive. It is not like the membership in the Abraham Lincoln Association, he said, which perpetuates the history and legacy of Abraham Lincoln. It's more. Something more dramatic, something more challenging. Being baptized into Christ means that we are actually part of the body of Christ. The organs, the limbs, the tissue. The living body of Christ. We have become such a part of the body of Christ that he now endeavors to continue his ministry in us and through us. No member of the Abraham Lincoln Association thinks Lincoln is living his life in them. They admire him. They admire what he said they admire. They admire what he did. But it is not the church. The church is a living, breathing organism. It's the body of which Christ is the head. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives an extensive teaching about our being part of the body of Christ. Just as a body, writes Paul, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized into one spirit so as to form one body. Some will refer to this as Paul's analogy. Others will say it's a metaphor. It's reality. And we're not literally eyeballs and ears. But the reality of our being in the body is clearly shown in Scripture. I'll give you a couple of examples. The story of Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road. Paul was blinded by a bright light of Jesus Christ. He's thrown to the ground and Jesus says to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Now, from the outside, looking in, Saul was persecuting the followers of Jesus, not Jesus himself. But from the inside, looking out, these people being persecuted were part of the body of Christ. Jesus did not ask, "Why are you persecuting my followers?" He didn't say, "Why are you on your way to Damascus to persecute my church there?" He asked, "Why are you persecuting me?" The church is a living, breathing body of Christ. Jesus showed it again in Matthew 25. That great scene of judgment when Jesus separates the sheep from the goats. And he charges both sides with similar words. "When you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it unto me. When you did it for the least of these, you did it also unto me." Me. These are the words of the head of the mystical body of Jesus Christ. The words of Christ himself. We are part of that body. And all of you can answer at once this question. How do you get into the mystical body of Jesus Christ? Baptism. Baptism, baptism. It comes through baptism. Brings us into union with Jesus Christ. It brings us into union with God the Father. It brings us into union with the Holy Spirit. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are baptized into an intimate relationship with God. Now, there are some implications that we can draw from this, a lot of them. I'm going to mention a few. We are interconnected, as are the organs in a body, according to Paul. And we are in union with Jesus Christ. But we are also in union with each other. Now, that's a truth that's difficult for Westerners and especially difficult for Americans. We live in a very individualistic society where we worry about my rights. Don't violate my rights. My life is about me and protecting my interests. What's in it for me? We ask. Like it or not, by your baptism into Jesus Christ, you and I have been joined. And we have been joined to every other baptized member in Christ's body throughout the entire world. Everyone who's been baptized into Jesus Christ is united to Christ and to us. Not just the saints or the ones we like. Not just the good, but also the bad and the ugly. We're connected to them as well. Now, in the body of Christ, when someone is hurting, when someone is ill, when someone's unemployed, whatever the problem is, homelessness, I can't say that's his problem. That's her problem. Just as in the human body, if the lung has cancer, the heart cannot say, that's his problem. That's the lung's problem. That's ludicrous. As ludicrous as turning my back on my brothers and sisters in need. The problems of the sick and the dying The problems of the hungry and the imprisoned are my problems. They're your problems. My problems are your problems. Your problems are mine. Because we are part of the same body, Jesus Christ. Another interesting implication of being baptized into the body of Christ is that we're joined to every member of the body through all time. That's mind-boggling. Through all time. We're joined together in the same mystical body of Christ. There is not a body of Christ version 386 into which Augustine of Hippo was baptized following his conversion experience. Same body. There's not a body of Christ 1181 into which Francis of Assisi was baptized. And we could go on and on and on through history, including your baptism and mine. There's only one body of Jesus Christ, and we are all baptized into it, into that same mystical body of Jesus Christ. Now, when you come for Eucharist this morning, keep that in mind. Keep in mind that when you come up here and you kneel or you stand and you receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ, you are communing not only with the people around you, but with the unseen people who are part of the mystical body of Christ. You will be communing with all the saints. There are other implications, of course, in being baptized into Christ Jesus, some of which we'll cover here in just a little bit when we renew our baptismal covenant. When we do that, please listen and read carefully. Consider carefully what you have been called to do in this covenant relationship that you're in your baptism. Consider carefully what you've been empowered to do, what gifts you have been given to use, empowered by the Spirit. Let's go back for a minute to that theophany on the banks of the Jordan. Jesus calls us to follow him in his ministry, which began that day in the waters of the Jordan with the baptism by John the Baptist. And Jesus calls us to follow him. Follow him into the waters of baptism in order that the heavens might be open for us and the Holy Spirit might descend on us as well, and that God the Father might proclaim that we are his sons and daughters, and that we might be about the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's where his ministry began. It's where our ministry begins. We are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. So, what arms and hands does Jesus have to embrace the world? Yours and mine. Amen.